Hello, everybody. Welcome to our Faith, Family, and Fellowship podcast. I'm Otis.
I'm Bronte.
And this podcast is all about faith,
family,
and fellowship. We are super excited just to be able to get together with you all today. Thank you for your attention and your time. Today is a very exciting podcast for us because we have our first official guest.
Yes.
Yes. And these two individuals are so important to our life. We don't know where we would be without these two individuals.
Well, we wouldn't be.
That's a good point. We would not be at all. And when we say that, what we mean is today we have both of our mothers on the podcast.
Yeah. Woo! Woo!
So we are excited to have both of our moms on the podcast. My mom, Diane, and...
my mom, Ellen.
Nice introduction. We are so glad to have them with us, and this is our Mother's Day special, so y'all show them some love. This is their first time actually talking with the crowd the way that we have them talking today, but we know they're going to do a good job. So we're just going to sit back, have a conversation like family always does, and we pray that you get something out of this. So, ladies, how are y'all?
Doing good.
Well, it's good to see y'all. Let me just tell you before I start, I have right now represented in the room with me, I'm going to say five of the most important women in my life sitting right here. I am a blessed and fortunate man to have both my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother, and my grandmother's sister, my great aunt, in the room with me. Now, y'all won't hear from the two of them, but they are here and they are representing as well.
Yep.
So what I have is the woman who's responsible for birthing me and raising me, the woman who I married and her mom who is responsible for birthing and raising her. And both of these ladies are influential in my life. And then I have my mom's mom and her sister, and they were very important to my life as far as my upbringing as well. So I'm blessed today. So let's get into some questions because these women have a lot of wisdom, and we want to see how they might be able to help you and your family. So you want to start with the first question?
All right. First question is, what has been one of your greatest challenges as a mother? Either one can answer first.
Well, as I think back, one of my challenges were my husband was in the military, and those times that he had to leave, I was mother and father. So at times it would get a little, not much, but I had my mom and I had my husband's mom there and my aunties to help along the way, but still that father figure was not there. So that was one of my greatest challenges.
What age were they when he was away? Roundabout. I know it's been a long time because they're old, you know.
Oh, here we go.
Pastor O might have been like 11 or 12.
Yeah.
Kobe probably 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Okay.
We did a good job, though. I mean, we didn't have that, but like Mom said, we had a lot of other people around us, and so I think that's really critical for family, that there are people there to step up and step in when you don't have everybody, and I don't think that happens a lot in families, but yeah, that was good.
Mm-hmm. Well, similar, but not so. I started early. So initially started out as a single parent, and I did marry Bronte's father, but he was also in the military. He was in the Navy. But it was like Diane said, kind of challenging. And I was young, learning how to be a mom, really, and then not having the father there so much. But I did have my mom, her auntie, sister-in-law, everybody. So to me, actually, to be honest, she was like a baby doll. I dressed her up. I did have a lot of help to do it. But during that time, the challenge was really, for me, learning how to be a mother at a young age.
Yeah, that's big. Especially today. I mean, it's no different today, I don't think, but that support from family is really critical for anybody that's raising kids, I think. And so we certainly applaud both of you. I think I turned out pretty good. I think you turned out pretty good. And so y'all did a good job.
We did.
So that leads me to this then. What, if anything, would you do differently if you could start all over again?
I think I would go to college.
Really?
I had a chance to go, and I didn't go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So as the years went by, that's one of my regrets. I would go to college, marriage, then children. Mm-hmm. You all had a good life.
Yeah.
You know, but
most definitely.
You had a good life. So I think if I'd have had that degree, it could have been better.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Could have been better, but that's what I would do.
Okay.
Okay, similar thing. I did go to college. I started and stopped. Started back, stopped, didn't finish. But I would probably do pretty much the same thing. Mm-hmm. Wait a little bit longer, mm-hmm. make some changes, but I wouldn't change my child.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I, you know, even though I got a divorce or whatever, but I would still want Bronte,
yeah.
the same mm-hmm. one, certainly. You know. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That's sweet. Mm-hmm. She still would want you, Bronte.
One of a kind.
I bet you were bad when you were little, huh?
So let me ask this because I struggle.
I struggle with
transitioning, kids transitioning to adulthood, mm-hmm. you know, like mothering them in that phase. So we have a 20-year-old, and about to be a 17-year-old. Mm-hmm. And parenting is a little bit different. And it's hard to, you know, like say, okay, you're at this age now. You can be on your own. You make your own decisions. I'm not going to coach you. I'm not going to whatever. You know, just let them go. I guess this is what I'm trying to say. How did y'all deal with that, you know, that letting go point?
And well, that's exactly what you would have to do, mm-hmm. let it go. It's hard. It's very difficult. I have boys, and it was very difficult. Mm-hmm. There were days I cried when they left, mm-hmm. because we were so close, and mm-hmm. we played, and we laughed, mm-hmm. and we were just a tight family. Mm-hmm. And so when they left, it was like I didn't hear from them that much, and I missed them. And what they call that house when it's empty?
Emptiness syndrome.
Yeah. I went through that.
You went through it.
I went through that. And my husband said, well, what's wrong with you? I would just cry all the time. But it passes. It passes.
Okay. I don't think my mom went through that.
No, I did not. I did not go through that. I was excited. But to be honest, when we did first take her off to college, mm-hmm. I didn't cry in front of her because I didn't want her to cry. So it was like, okay, let me wait till I get back in the car. But I'm this person that I hold mm-hmm. all my stuff in until nobody knows about it but me and God.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. you know, you kind of hold it in. But I kind of... just step back and let them come to me. Mm-hmm. I'm the type, I'm not going to just jump in. You know, if they want to talk, then fine, we'll talk about it. If not, you know, I started off with a girl, Bronte, mm-hmm. of course. That was pretty easy, mm-hmm. to be honest. You're blessed.
Otis. There you go.
I am blessed.
She wasn't as hard.
Yeah.
And she was quiet, but, you know, she wasn't an innocent, quiet scream. But she was a good girl, so it wasn't so hard.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I mean, I am blessed and fortunate. I can tell that she is your daughter. She has your, she doesn't just look like you, but she thinks the way you do. I do pray for her because I think that as Jalen gets a little bit older and walks away and we do go through the empty nest syndrome, I don't know what that's going to look like. Honestly, mm-hmm. I don't know what it's going to look like for either one of us, mm-hmm. because we're so used to having all of them around at some point in mm-hmm. some parts of the day. And Jalen, when we have moments now where we're like, okay, what are we gonna do? Because Jalen's doing his own thing, and we're trying to figure out what we need to do next. And so I think that's a pivotal part of any relationship is to determine, you know, to make sure you have a relationship so that when the kids do go away, you have something to hold on to and do with each other. So interesting to hear your thoughts. We just recently, not many years ago, learned that mama was crying as we were gone. Dad said something about it. He was like, I didn't know she was crying, but she went through the phase. And we were and are a very close-knit family, so I can see the challenge in that. So
yeah like you said, when you took Bronte to college, when we took Kobe to college, I was crying on the way back. Pastor O and Frizzle Lady was dating at the time,
right.
And they were in the back seat just playing and wrestling and having a good time, and I was crying.
Yeah, we didn't know you were crying then when you dropped COVID. So yeah. Challenges. Just look forward to it.
Yes.
But you know what? I really don't think it's that hard for the guy, though. I really don't. Because you can kind of let them go. I guess maybe because you've been a guy. Maybe. And you're like, they'll be fine. Let them go. They all right.
I just think we just process it a little bit differently. You know, I think it's different for every man. But, I mean, you miss it, especially when you have, not to say that it's different with girls, but when you have boys and you have wrestled and you have had conversations with them, I'm usually the one that would have that deep conversation with them about a girl and what they're doing. And so you have, it's a unique bond. It's different than I think what you have with the mother, which is another question we'll have that hopefully you guys can answer for us. But we just process differently. And some guys, I've seen some guys cry. And some would just be like it, which would probably be me. Okay, y'all, let us know if you need anything. And make sure you keep in contact, that kind of thing. But it's just a process of how we process it, I think. So saying that, then, what do you think a mother's love, why do you think a mother's love is different than any other natural love? My mother-in-law, you can go first.
Because of the fact that we nurture. Yeah, we carried them first of all for 9 months. When Monte was 7, but
always moving fast.
But you know, you nurture, you have that bond, and you're there, and you go through the birthing process with them, and you hold them close and dearly. And especially a girl, I've never been the type to just, you know, sit and hug and all that on you, but Bronte was always the clingy type. So she was going to know, she was going to hold on to my leg or be, you know, whatever. So, but you know that love doesn't, it doesn't matter what your child do. It's just like God with us. You know, God going to love us regardless.
Right.
And I think we have that similarity with God, mother and God, because you're going to love your child no matter what.
Right.
That's right.
Because you go through that process with them. And most of the time when something is wrong, the child, whether male or female, they're going to call mom.
Yep.
And mom going to sit there and they're going to go through it. I can remember with Bronte and Justin, you know, she didn't know what to do, but mama. And you know, if she get in deep, she doesn't call as much, but if she got a really, really bad problem, she gone mama. Yes. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you have that connection that, like I said, no matter what, you're going to love your child.
Yeah, that's good. Mom, you going to add anything?
I agree.
Yeah.
And you know, I look at natural love, you know, people love you today and hate you tomorrow.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it just depends. And but like Louis said, that motherly love, no matter what your child does, you know, you're going to love them no matter what.
Yeah.
You're going to be there.
Yeah. I think from a family standpoint, what I like about our families is that even, you know, when we got married, there, for me, I can say for me, there was an instant connection to my mother-in-law. Bronte and my mom, I think, had a pretty instant connection. And so what we see today is that there are many families that can't connect on a level. We're still talking about love. You'll hear people say, man, I can't stand my mother-in-law. I can't stand my father-in-law. I can't stand her family or his family. What I love about our families is that we were able to come together and create something that's unique for our families, to the point that we actually have dinners together. We hang out together, and that's very special. And I kind of gloat a little bit and boast a little bit about the fact that we do have such a close knit family, even amongst our families. And we don't get to see each other every day, but the beauty is that we can come together and love on each other to the point that we share birthdays together. Like, you two will buy gifts for each other. Not not every family can say that they have the benefit of seeing that happen. And so there, I think the reason I'm saying that, that natural love, I think, kind of bleeds over into the families and just creates another level of love amongst all of us.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true. How do you think the role of the mother has changed over time? You know, these new school people. It's kind of different. How has it changed? What would you say has changed?
Well, Diane is looking like, okay, you can answer that question first. Mothers are textbook mothers now, for one thing. They like to go by books. They read books and they want to go by what's in the book and what's this and what's that. And mothers now, I guess for lack of a better word, some mothers, I won't say all mothers, are kind of mother in a lazy way. Because, and I say that because of technology.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's the fact that, okay, let me give them, my phone, or let me give them a tablet, or let me give them something to keep them occupied. Whereas when we were coming, we would, you know, play with them or take you outside or do different things like that. Go to the park. And you still have mothers that do those things, but you just have things that you put away. Like when I was bringing my kids along, we had dinner at the table.
Right.
And now y'all know that I get not so happy when y'all have those phones. At the phones at the table, you know, because it's lack of, you know, communication there when everybody start getting in there. So I just think mothers, they just, I don't know, they just don't be as involved sometimes with the kids, or they want to do everything by in some cases by the book.
By the book.
And you can't raise a child by a book.
That's true. So true.
True.
I have a question I was going to ask. Do you think maybe mothers today are mothering in fear because of things that's happening with our young black boys?
That's a good question. I'll let you answer first. You're a mother. I don't want to jump in on that.
I'm not mothering in fear because, you know, I think it starts from the root, from the ground up. You know, I had a grandmother, I had a mom, I had people in my life that showed me how to be a mother. They were examples for me. And I've never been the textbook mother. I've never been the social media mama, you know, that kind of mom. So I can't relate on that, in that aspect. But as far as raising them in fear, I think they're raising them a little bit different because of the things that have happened, you know, in the world. So we have to train them a little bit different. You know, it used to be a time where you didn't have to have them, hey, pull over. If you pull you over, go make sure the area is light, is a lit area, and that type of thing. Or make sure you have your pants up and your shirt. You know, you have to tell them how to dress and tell them, because you're afraid of the police. And so now they feel like they can't be themselves. And so sometimes that causes rebellion in them.
Yeah.
Because they want to do the opposite, like, everybody else can be themselves, why I can't be myself? And then it's just this whole cycle. So I think, I wouldn't say they're raising them in fear, but it is a little different now. There's more things that we have to teach them when it comes to carrying themselves versus, I think, back in the day. I'm not sure how, during y'all's time, you know, parents, mothers told their sons how when they go out and that type thing, what they had to do, but I know now, we definitely have to drive at home. Look, hey, put both hands on the steering wheel, you know, that kind of thing, you know, if they pull you over.
And I also think now with the new day mothers, they're not different from, I guess, where I was when I was raising my kids. They, and it may not necessarily been totally, you know, so open and so right, but they have too much voice for me. They allow kids to talk too much. They have, you should listen to them. You should, you know, let them express themselves. And, you know, it's okay to, express yourself.
Yeah.
However, there should be a line.
Right.
And I think now kids are have too much freedom talk when adults are talking. Sit around. Times you couldn't sit around adults when, you know, kids were not allowed in the room. You definitely could not, you know, insert anything when adults were having a conversation. But now kids are allowed to do so much. And, you know, because you want them to, you know, let them be themselves. Let them, you know, express themselves. Or, you know, they don't have curfews. They have so much freedom.
Yes.
And parents want to be friends
with
their kids versus being parents. So they can't, You know, sometimes you confuse the kid because you don't know if today you're my friend or today you're going to be my mom.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's just...
Yeah, I think that there's definitely a new parenting style. I don't know if it's for fear more than it is for lack of parenting just at different levels now. I mean, you have grandmothers that are very young today because kids are having kids, and that's nothing new. But it's just a lot more prevalent now where you have young girls and young boys having kids. I mean, I've seen... Saw a story recently where some 12-year-old kid and a girl were having a kid. That's, 12 years old, I wasn't even thinking about anything like that. I was trying to throw pine cones at some of the friends in the woods. You know? So it was not something that we thought about. And then I think the kids today are exposed, to your point, mother-in-law, they're exposed to too much too early. Not only do they get to sit amongst their parents and hear grown folks' conversation, but the internet has opened up so many avenues that they see a lot of things before their brain should really be trying to comprehend some of the things that they see. And that causes a different level of parenting that's required. And parents, you know, you see parents handing kids tablets to raise them. Here, take this tablet. And the kids at 3 and 4 know how to manipulate and maneuver an electronic device to get to where they're going. At 3 years old, we were still trying to figure out how to walk well. So, I mean, it's just a different day and time. And I think that, there's a lot of shifts there. But I think that, you know, if we can get back to some of the basics of parenting, we might be able to change some things there. Here's another question. How has your faith played a role in your responsibilities as a wife and as a mother?
I have had to trust God tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
Through things that we went through in our early age, I didn't have anywhere else to go but to God.
Mm-hmm.
He has been there, and like the words say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, you know, I could go to him for peace and for joy, you know, when I needed him to lead and guide me into what to do and how to do it.
Yes. Right.
And he has been there. I needed my faith, so it has played a big part in my life, even today.
Cool. That's good.
Yeah, faith... as well, I have paid for as far as a wife, it's like I have been divorced and married and remarried. And as you grow in your faith, and then your spouse may not necessarily grow as well, but you have to, during the time, you have to trust God in that as well. And you have to be that light.
Yeah.
And I've learned during that time to be that light. I didn't learn by Bible bashing my husband.
Right.
You know, I have little tidbits that, you know, whoever's listening, maybe you can try that instead of beating him up, you know. In the bathroom was his library. So instead of putting, you know, certain books in there, I put a Bible or daily bread or something, and then you catch him reading that instead of reading something else. So doing that, I've learned how to use my faith and trust God in that area by letting God do the work versus me trying to talk through it. I live my life so you can see it versus, you know, trying to force it on you. And as far as being a mother, that faith, when I say first, say, how do you let go? That's the hardest thing for a mother to do, is to let go. As far as, you know, trying not to direct them and guide them and give them so much advice and make them and tell them, you need to do this, you need to do that. It has to come to a point where you have faith and trust God during that process, and pray to God during that process, and then it'll come to a point where you just give it up.
Yeah.
And you say, God, I'm tired of worrying about it. I'm tired of not sleeping. I'm tired of, you know, I remember a sermon not long ago when you, it may have been last Sunday, I'm not sure, as far as saying that everybody know what they want to do. So you can't raise grown people.
Right.
So you got to allow them to make their decision. They know the right decision. And the word tells you, train up a child in the way that they should go. And I feel like to the best of my ability, I did that.
Right.
And you just got to let it go. And that's where all your trust come in.
Right.
So now, you know, regardless of you know, how they act or what they do, I go to sleep.
Yeah.
Without any medication. I sleep fine. You know, I trust God. He got it. Whatever, right. Whatever direction, mm-hmm. whatever happened, if God allows something to happen, I always say, God, you know, prepare me. Let me be ready for whatever it is that I know you're going to be there for me.
Right.
So, you know, total trust, peace, rest in God, you know, with that, through that process.
And I had to learn that, you know, because at first I was up in the middle of the night. I didn't even know why I was up. I was up looking out of the window, trying to see, you know, all this kind of stuff. He's here, he's not here, you know. And after a while, I was just tired. And so, you know, I prayed. I said, Lord, just give me a peace. And you, if you don't have God in parenting, I don't know how you're doing it. Because you definitely need the strength of God to be able to be a mother in today's time. And especially if you are a mother to black boys. It's really hard because if they're out, you're like, okay, I wonder what they're doing or if they're being safe and who they're around and make sure don't nobody do nothing to them. And, you know, all this kind of stuff is going through your mind. And so at this point, like you said, you just have to give it to God and allow him to take care of them. You say you trust him. So allow him to do what he's going to do. And that was the hardest thing for me. But now I'm at peace with whatever it is. And it's a great place to be because I can rest.
Rest and just live the life before them.
Yeah.
Let them see God in you. Let them see God in you.
Yeah, we saw a lot of that at the house. I mean, I don't, from my memory, I don't ever remember ever seeing anything other than my dad being a minister of the gospel, my mom being a woman of faith. And so we grew up in that environment. And I understand that not everybody gets an opportunity to grow up in an environment like that. But I think that it does, it creates a difference for someone to see that. So I say that to say this to those that might listen to this, is that you can make a change. I mean, you can change the situation.
Definitely.
If you can change how you live and how you present yourself to your kids, it could change their life. Because whether they say it or not, they're always watching. Even now, we watch YouTube. We watch our dads, I mean, and what they do. Because it's something that you learn from. We learn by physical example a lot of times. And so if you're out there and you don't have God, then I would highly advise you look into giving your life to Christ and beginning to live that way. Because if you have kids, they're watching. And Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, my mother-in-law said, you train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. When they learn something and it's embedded in them, then they can come back around to that later. God will be able to pull out of them what has been placed in them. Brings them back to a good place. And so, super excited. This has been a good conversation.
Yes, it has.
I'm not going to let you go. I have a bonus question. I'm going to ask all three of you, and then we're going to conclude our our podcast this time. But this is something, I want you to think about the young lady that might be pregnant right now, or the brand new mother who just had a baby. And I want you to think of from the perspective of this young girl is pregnant, she's about to have a baby, or she just had this baby. What advice would you give a new mother or someone who's pregnant right now?
First, I would say to have God in your life. And he will lead and guide you how to raise that child, how to love that child with the love that that child will need to become an adult.
That's great.
Okay.
My advice to them, I don't know, you didn't say whether they were married or not married, but if you're not married, still God still loves you, and if you don't have a relationship with God, you definitely need to get a relationship with God, and don't allow the devil to beat you up about
a
mistake that you have made, because I mean, it's made. God allowed it to happen in your life, so the baby's there. You gotta learn, get in the word, read the word to your baby if you're pregnant. Play soft music to your baby if you're pregnant. And once you do have the baby, my suggestion to a mother is to breastfeed your baby. It's the most wonderful thing ever to do. And it's a connection there.
Yeah.
But, you know, spend time with your baby and just learn to love them. It's going to take time, but that motherly connection, once you have a baby, you will connect. You will feel that bond there. And so just as Diane said, you know, read your word in God and pray to God, and He will lead you in the way how to love and to raise your child.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. For me, I would say for new mothers or someone who's pregnant now, I would say just to remember to have boundaries and schedules, you know, flexible schedules, but you do need some kind of routine for kids. That's the way, that's where they thrive best. Even as they get older, they still need routine. You still need boundaries. And so I would say, set some routine and boundaries. It will help you, because if you have, like we were talking before, if you have a bedtime of 8:30, 9 o'clock, then you know after they go to sleep every night, that's your downtime and you can regroup and get yourself together. So I would definitely say set some boundaries on top of everything our moms have said as well. And also to just enjoy being a mom.
Yeah.
Just be present, you know, just enjoy being a mom.
Awesome. Ladies, thank you so much for taking time to interview with your children. You did an excellent job. Prayerfully, those of you who might listen to this, that we pray that you get good information from this that you can apply to your life. This podcast is simply about what we say, faith, family, and fellowship. We talk about God, we talk about our family, and we talk about fellowship with each other. And that is a very critical portion of living your life, to have faith, to have your family surrounding you. And, you know, family might, some of you may not have your natural family, but if there are people in your life that treat you and love on you like a family, that is your family. And fellowship is just being able to get along with the people around you as well. And so that's what this podcast is about. Today we've done that. I want to close us in a word of prayer before we go. And again, happy Mother's Day to everyone that might be listening to this, those moms out there. We love you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
For all that you've done. We're so grateful for our mothers, God. You have blessed us tremendously to have women of faith, wisdom, and knowledge to raise us. And Father, to even help us with our kids. God, we thank you for the insight that they provide and the wisdom that they have. God, we thank you for all that they've shared with us today. And we pray for that young mother out there, God, that may be married or not married and may be with child or just had a child. We pray, God, that you comfort them in this moment as they hear this, God. Give them words of encouragement through this podcast. Give them words of encouragement, most importantly, through your word, God. And we're just grateful to be able to share with them today. Ask you to continue to bless us and keep us all as we continue to look to you for all of our answers and solutions. In your son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.